This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard. Well, hello, friends, and welcome to the Astrology University podcast and this episode of the Cosmic Eye Forecast. This is our new monthly forecast, and this month we're going to be talking about Virgo season. Woohoo! And I am joined by the amazing and talented Vanessa Montgomery. Hey, Vanessa, thanks for joining me today.
Hey, Tony. Thank you. And hi, everyone.
So I'm going to start out by, I've been nominated by Vanessa to talk about Virgo this time. Usually we have Vanessa lead us into the signs, but today, since I have six planets in Virgo, she nominated me to kick things off. So I'm going to lead you into Virgo right about now. So Virgo is a sign that gets a bit maligned. All the signs get maligned a little bit, but Virgo is one of the signs that we love to hate on a bit. And I like to reframe some of the keywords that we use for Virgo. So I'm going to do a little bit of that today for you. And this is really taken from a presentation that I give to my first year astrology students at Astrology University as part of our four-year program. We talk about the signs as gateways to embodied experience. And all of that is to say that we're kind of trying to reframe our experience of the signs so that we can step into the energies and embody them in ways that feel more empowering to us. And I like to take students into this experience of the signs by talking about the energetics underlying them. And one potential energetic underlying the Virgo energy is purification. And I zeroed in on this word through experience a few years ago at a spiritual retreat center that I used to attend and go on meditation retreats at, where they referred to the team of people that were in charge of cleaning your cleaning up the rooms as house healers. And I just love that. And they had a little placard about the house healers, and they described them as coming into your space with the intention of purifying your living space. And I just love that. And something clicked for me. I was like, oh, Virgo isn't just about criticizing, it's about purifying as well. And I think this is a wonderful word, purification, for Virgos to hold on to consciously and aim their actions towards, because it aims for a somewhat higher intention than perfection, for instance, which, as we all know, is impossible as a long-term goal. So when expressing positively, Virgo purifies our tangible experience of life, not only for itself, but can also do this for others. And believe it or not, Virgos can actually set others at ease when this intention is applied skillfully. And taking concrete steps towards fixing or adjusting or cleaning up a space, a situation, or an environment can still or calm the nervous system and the mind, allowing for more earthy grounding, so fulfilling some of the earth potential of Virgo. And this can set the stage for concentrated periods of work, for instance, which Virgo is really into as well. And it's not unlike the way you might clean up the kitchen before you start to cook or sweep the front steps of your office in preparation for welcoming people in. Virgo is one of two signs that I would describe as unsettled, and all signs can experience stress, of course, and we could go through a whole thing where we go through all the signs and talk about how each of the signs experience stress. But Virgo, if we hold that it's oriented towards purification, means that Virgo understands and also has an eye for spotting what is impure. In other words, what needs repair or what needs adjustment. Virgo is keenly attuned to the things that are broken, the things that need to be fixed, improved, or changed for the better. And that, of course, leads us into some of those negative stereotypes of hypercriticism. But the insight Virgo needs in order to feel more settled themselves as they go about their tasks is that the work is truly never going to be done. So if you can hold that in mind as a Virgo, the work, or during Virgo season, the work is never done. It's all about just taking that next step and taking action to put one foot in front of the other. Acceptance of this idea that the work is never done can actually calm you, because you don't have this expectation that you could cross everything off the list and then just rest for the rest of your time on Earth. Virgos don't have that luxury. That's a gift of maybe some of the other signs. Virgo's here to get some work done. Virgo's here to be productive. And just as soon as Virgo fixes something, it seems that a new broken thing shows up and asks to be fixed, whether that's a person or somebody needing help or something in their environment that just breaks down. And it's just ready for that useful Virgo support and help. And the key to energetic health for Virgos in the situation is to constantly focus on that next step and take the next action, rather than focusing on the immense size of the list of things that need to be fixed, which can lead into stress, of course, and overwhelm and tension. Anything you want to add in there, Vanessa?
I just response, like, I think it's interesting you're saying things like distill and concentrate, and, you know, Virgo is the editor. So it is like, and, you know, the harvest, taking what's essential, what's nutritious, what has value, what can be used as an earth sign. And yeah, I'm hearing you say all those things.
Yeah, definitely. And Virgo is oriented towards the practical, like as an earth sign, as you point out, what's useful, what's practical. I do also like to talk, I mentioned criticism a little bit. I like to talk about criticism and even reframe criticism, because criticism is and critical, those are bad words in our culture. But the function of criticism is not bad. Right. If something needs to be fixed, if something could be improved upon, you know, we offer our critique of what that thing is so that we can know what the steps are to improve it. It's all about how the criticism's delivered, I think. It's all about the intention behind the criticism. And so if you're coming from that stressed out, overwhelmed place of Virgo of, you know, I only have 5 minutes for you because I've got 25 other things on my list, and here's everything that's wrong about this situation. That's not going to come across very well to most people, right? So, yeah, if you're, personally. But if you've taken in the you know, for instance, the flip side of Virgo is Pisces, and so another keyword that I love as an antidote to Virgo stress and overwhelm is allowing. Earlier, we were talking about just allowing for this idea that you're never going to cross everything off the list. So just settle into whatever that next thing is to do. And then there's something in me when I do that where my nervous system just totally calms down and I can actually be really chill. And allowing is another thing as well. You know, allowing the broken thing to be broken, accepting people just as they are, and then choosing to apply that fixing or that improving or that correction. And it's a subtle shift, but it's important. You know, it goes from look at this mess, look how broken everything is, or even worse, because Virgo can internalize these things, look how broken I am. Yeah. And instead to just accept the thing just as it is.
Yeah. I think that every sign has the pitfalls that equal the superpower, don't they? So it's being really clear about that and how to use it as a power rather than a pitfall.
Definitely. I love that idea. Speaking of powers, you know, another thing we talk about with Virgo is an orientation towards service. But I like to talk about this in a little more detail as well, because when Virgo gives, it really needs to do so as a choice and not as an obligation. Mm-hmm. Because Virgo can have, you know, we think, oh, Virgo's really service-oriented sign. They're just giving, giving, giving. But if you talk to most Virgos, they'll have a laundry list of grievances about, you know, people who didn't appreciate them for whatever the thing is that they did. And so, again, with the flip side of Pisces, the antidote there is to learn how to give unconditionally. And if you're not able to do that, to consider not giving in that situation. You know, we can only give what we have the resources to give. And if we go beyond that, that's where we're going to experience that resentment and
I think Virgos need to learn to say no.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
That's what I've noticed too. Like, Virgos want to be so useful because they can be, because they can spot everything that needs improvement and how, where you need help and, or could do with some help, I should say. And I think that, you know, the Pisces Virgo axis is very humble. And it's very sensitive, very nuanced. And I don't think people realize, like people know about Pisces, but don't realize so much about Virgo. So I think Virgo will often get themselves doing so many things that then other people, they know the Virgo is going to have it done. So perhaps they slack off, and it's really important to be mindful of that. And if anything, just channel what would a Virgo do? That's what I do. And I know, Tony, that you're going to be prepared. You'll have everything. Like you can catch everything. I could be such a lazy Sagittarius, and I suppose I am a little bit today. But usually I'm really aware of that, not to pile everything onto the Virgo just because I can, because then the Virgo will snap and will be like start to build up resentment, and yeah, it's not balanced. So yeah. I'm just like, what would a Virgo do? Virgo would be prepared. There's, you know, and as an earth sign, there's limited time. So it's distilling down what's essential and what you can actually do, and to do those things, like stick to the priorities, get that list right. Like Virgo is such a listy type, you know. Virgos love to have their list of and tick it off. Like that's what I've noticed. So they're things that I don't naturally do. So thinking of that Virgo archetype and Virgo people that I know, I, you know, with all that Sagittarius square, that's where I have the most to learn. So it's been really useful.
Right. Yeah, definitely. The list, that's definitely a thing for me. I love nothing more than crossing something off a list. but I make the problem is probably, you know, because I have too many planets in Virgo, but I add to the list more than I cross things off. So yes. that can feel overwhelming. Well, I do have a couple of Virgo chart examples today. First one is a Maria Montessori, who you pointed out, Vanessa, when we were chatting as we were preparing today's episode. And I just have a couple of quotes from Maria Montessori. You know, Virgo, another thing we say about Virgo is that it possesses some kind of natural humility. And I think you can hear that coming through this quote from Maria Montessori, who you may know as kind of pioneering a form of education that's still used today. And she says, "The greatest sign of success for a teacher is to be able to say, the children are now working as if I did not exist." So really not even taking any credit for her system or what she's doing there, that's the greatest sign of mastery, is that if the children are working as if she wasn't even there. So Virgo humility, though, only comes into balance if Virgo appreciates itself and cares for itself and accepts others just as they are. And again, that humility, you know, that's how to kind of turn up the volume into the highest expression of that humility, I think. Virgo analyzes and measures, and Virgo is focused on the steps in a procedure and whether they work or not. And Maria Montessori said, "One test of the correctness of educational procedure is the happiness of the child." I love that too. So Maria Montessori, we'll see in a second, had Leo rising as well. And you can hear some of that, not only the emphasis on the child, but the emphasis on the joy and the creativity of the child as well. Virgo is also mutable and adaptable. And she said, "Development is a series of rebirths." I love that as well. Earlier we were talking about that aim for goodness and purification. And she said, "Let us leave the life free to develop within the limits of the good. And let us observe this inner life developing. This is the whole of our mission as teachers," right? She didn't say as teachers. I'm just filling that in for you. So this is her chart. This is an AA rated chart, so you have pretty good data here. I ran this one in whole signs just for fun. And in whole sign houses, Mercury's in the third house. And I think that's a great correlation with somebody who is an educator, especially focused on primary education, early childhood education. And of course, there's that Leo rising we pointed out. And she has Venus right there conjunct the ascendant Leo rising.
I do have something to mention, actually, Tony. Speaking of, you know, Virgo is ruled by Mercury, of course, but mostly we associate Mercury with Gemini, and people tend to forget the Virgo side of that. So, you know, that's an earthy, practical side. Here we've got an amazing alternative teacher. You're running a school. I thought it was interesting, Rudolf Steiner, although he's sun in Pisces, he's got moon in Virgo. So again, a teacher that was a really different, actually doing things differently, and it's really stuck because they both have people modeling those ways of educating. What do you have to share as a sixth planet in Virgo with, yes, your intel on that?
I think that, you know, where Gemini shares interesting information, the focus with Virgo isn't necessarily on interesting. Focus is on useful or practical, helpful. You know, Virgos get into trouble because they're, you know, it's a stereotype. It's a thing with Virgo to offer unsolicited advice, for instance, right? And it's usually coming from a place, just speaking from personal experience, I'm usually thinking, well, if it were me, I would want to know there was an easier way to do that, right? And so if I'm sharing that with you, I think I'm helping you by giving you this information that you clearly didn't have, otherwise you would be applying it. The fact is that it's not always about the information, and unsolicited advice is just that. So it's, for that particular dynamic, it's all about, you know, asking somebody, I mean, just offering, you know, hey, you know, I know another way you could do that that might be easier. Do you want me to share that with you? Rather than just saying, look, you should be doing it like this. You're doing it all wrong, right?
Yeah.
Again, it's
about... So it comes across as a criticism if you say it that way.
Right. Totally. Yeah. Totally. Yeah. So it's all about the delivery, and it's even tricky, you know, saying, hey, I have some unsolicited advice. Would you like to solicit it? it's tricky because it could still come across as unwanted. So it's a fine line there. But again, it's all about the intention, I think. Where I'm getting at here is that Virgo's ruled by Mercury, and so we're talking about information and communication. So it's still about communication and sharing something. It's just that the nature of the information is maybe different. Also, you know, we talk about what Virgo does with information is Virgo analyzes. I think Virgo sifts through as well. Virgo is about editing and analyzing information. So distilling things down. Well, I know we have a lot of ground to cover. I have one more chart example. Maybe I can just breeze through this really quickly. This is the chart for Ava DuVernay, who's a film director and documentarian. And this is her chart run in Placidus for people who like Placidus. So something for everyone today. But DuVernay has the Sun in Virgo conjunct Mars, and we have AA data for her as well. So we've got a great birth time for her. And that Sun Mars conjunction is part of a T-square. The Sun and Mars are opposite the Moon in Pisces, and their square Neptune in Sagittarius. Now, T-square is a complex signature, and it's often described as challenging or negative, but the fact is that people with T-squares are extremely productive because that irritating energetic behind the T-square compels the person to take action in response, and they tend to create great works as a result of that. Whether that's, you know, in the case of this person who's in the public eye, or even great works in your own life. If you add in Virgo to the conjunction, the Sun-Mars conjunction, it's going to have that drive to, in addition to the tension of the T-square, that drive to fix the broken things, or as we see so much in her work, to offer critiques of culture that are useful and suggestions for improvement, maybe for better efficiency. In her case, there's definitely an attention towards people's suffering and inequity, and we see that opposition with the Moon in Pisces, and awareness of human suffering is coming into play there. And all of these are going to be tied in, all these ideas are going to be tied into that driving force of the T-square. And she has been an extremely productive person. You might know her from directing her film Selma, which she was nominated for an Academy Award for. And she was also nominated for an Academy Award for her documentary 13th, which is focused on race in the United States and the criminal justice system. Totally worth a watch if you haven't seen it. It's not light viewing, but it's important viewing. And I think, you know, all these tensions in DuVernay's chart really come through her work as well. She's really, if you look at any of her work, there's tension in her work. And notice that she has Scorpio on the midheaven and its ruler Mars, going right back to that Sun-Mars conjunction. And people disagree with her. People challenge her. She spars with people. And yet she's still called to stand in the midst of that storm and keep expressing herself and keep sharing that critique with us until we get it, maybe. And she'll need to develop coping strategies to manage the stress and tension, like that Virgo stress and tension that we were describing earlier, to not get too worn down or out of balance. Also, as a result of the T-square, it's not an easy road, but it'll be extremely rich and fruitful if she stays on her current trajectory. So really, really fascinating person and chart to look at there. Anything you want to add to that you're seeing, Vanessa?
Oh, just it's such a great combo for filmmaking.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Are you thinking of the Neptune there?
Yeah, and Moon in Pisces. I just think people with Moon in Pisces are they're true artists.
Yeah.
And of course, yeah, the Neptune and the Pisces is there for filmmaking. And then that Mars in Virgo conjunct her sun is just, you know, they're busy people. Mars in Virgo people really don't stop. They've always got to be doing something. So yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. And if I don't know her work, actually, I'll have to look her up. But it sounds like there's the, yeah, of course, that service. You know, she's making films in service.
Yeah, for sure. And it's interesting what you're saying about the Moon in Pisces and Neptune there too. I was just thinking about, I don't have the quote on hand, but there's a quote where somebody's asking her about her film Selma, which is about MLK and the civil rights movement. And they were kind of critiquing it because there are parts of it that weren't historically accurate. And she said, I wasn't trying to be historically accurate. I was trying to tell a moving story, something to that extent. So you can really hear the Moon in Pisces square Neptune coming through there, I think.
Yeah, it's not going to be.
It's not the literal.
Yeah. It actually makes me think of another filmmaker, Guy Ritchie, who is a Virgo. And I looked him up because I have a friend that studied filmmaking who's a Virgo, and she moved to Hollywood to make her fortune. And of course she won everything and had amazing editing. Like everything was so precise, and she used music or sound, I should say, incredibly precisely to build tension. And I think that Virgo with that mercurial, you know, nervous system correlation as well can get really wound up.
Totally.
And she used that in the filmmaking, and it was amazing. And he does that too. I thought, I wonder if I just got to check his chart, because it's a similar vibe, because he's so precise and he's got so many quick cuts. Like, who can even achieve that? So of course he's a Virgo. So it's a really good example of a Virgo vibe in a film.
Nice.
Or filmmaking.
Nice.
Yeah. And of course there's the editor with those great editing skills and awareness of all those little details.
It's tweaky.
It's really tweaky. Really precise.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love that.
So that's Virgo season.
Thank you. And Vanessa, do you want to lead us into the monthly moons?
Yes. So this month we have, yes, September 2nd, we have a full moon in Pisces, of course, the opposition, the opposite sign. So as you've already said, Tony, yeah, leaning into the opposite side of Pisces. So where Virgo does need to know all the details and have everything pinned down, like in Ava's chart, bring in that Pisces and you've got the ability to really create something magical, because the Virgo will actually do something about it and not just dream. But the Pisces has the dream and will have the belief. It's not, you know, you can't see it or define it yet. That's the Pisces. But the Virgo's role is to define it and pin it down and bring it down to earth out of, you know, that nebulous imagination. It's a beautiful combination. It's a very artistic, practical combination, I think. Actually, my little cousin has that. She's a musician, and it's I just see it at work. She's a worker, but she's a dreamer at the same time. So yeah, the polarities are always, they just cover so much ground. So the full moon in Pisces, yeah, look for like what's the dream? What's the dream you want to bring in? Look for that. You know, there's that idea of the full moon illuminates what the seeds of intention you planted on, you know, the new moon 6 months ago in new moon in Pisces. So if you've been doing that, or even if you haven't, have those intentions so that your conscious mind will see what you're looking for, that full moon light will reveal it and shine on it. You know, there's that thing of we see so much, but we don't see it consciously. So just sort of flag it for your mind to show you, and you'd be surprised at what turns up.
Yeah, there's a lot of magic in the moon in Pisces, I think.
So magical, so beautiful. The unity thing that we could really do with right now as well. Like there's so much literally social distancing and things coming between us and masks on our, you know, coming between us. And it's a good moment to get back into remembering all those places that we intersect And, you know, for in terms of true health, we don't survive without that. We don't survive if we're separate. You know, that feeling of unity really buoys us up in terms of health. So
human connection, so important. We're obviously not telling people to take their masks off, but I'm having a vision of the other night in the park by my house. People are playing music there on the weekends, and it's a small, you know, neighborhood gathering, and everybody's doing their social distancing and all that. But a woman had brought together these really long, I guess they were 6 feet long scarves, and she had a bunch of people in the audience grab end to end of the scarf and then hold another scarf so that another person could be tethered at the other end, and to create this whole long, beautiful connection of people. It was very colorful, and they were kind of weaving in and out through the park, and it was a way to be connected safely, but to still create that feeling of connection. So beautiful image.
Yeah. There. So that's a good point to remember that on.
So our next segment is Give Me the Headlines.
Give me the headlines, Tony, the key signatures. So you've got the big one for the month. Tell us about that, the Mars square Saturn, right?
Yes. So we have a couple of big ones this month. One we've been talking about for a while now. Mars is going to turn retrograde in Aries, the sign of its rulership, on September 9th. And as we lead up to that, Mars is already in Aries. And Mars right now is in close orb of the square with Saturn. And it's in that square for about 2 weeks. This aspect is usually really fast, usually 2 or 3 days, because Mars is usually moving quickly. And so usually it's like a, you know, frustrating day or two, but not this time, because Mars is already moving really slow and just coming as it comes to a stop on the retrograde on September 9th. So it's already moving really slow. And this means we have this pretty strong Mars square Saturn energy for about 2 weeks from today. We're recording this August 17th in the United States. It's August 18th for you, Vanessa. Yeah. And that goes through August 27th or so, you know, just depending on your orbs. So, but a good 2 week period there where it's pretty strong energy. But more headlines, what I think is a really, really positive one, and definitely an energetic that you want to focus on and take advantage of this coming cycle, Virgo cycle, is 3 weeks of Mercury in Virgo. So Mercury will enter Virgo on August 20th here in the United States, and it's there through September 5th. So this is a time where you really want to take advantage of Mercury being in one of the signs of its rulership. For some people, Mercury in Virgo is exalted, others not. People quibble over that. But in any case, Mercury's in the sign of its rulership, and you can really focus on and accentuate some of those energetics that we were talking about earlier. So it's a really good time to focus on analyzing problems, to focus on problem solving if you've had some challenges. And there are going to be a couple of little extra windows there that we'll talk about soon with some sextiles and trines to Mercury. Another important thing to note that this cycle is Jupiter goes direct September 12th. So if you've been in a process of revisioning something, revisioning your big vision for the world or your life or the meaning of life, you may be coming to a close with that process and be able to kind of move forward again as Jupiter goes direct September 12th. And we'll also talk about later, the moon's going to be out of bounds for a couple of days this month.
Well, I'll come in with a little bit of about that square, because,
yeah,
you know,
please.
It's just a signature for the rest of the year, you know, and if anyone follows a few different astrologers, that's a lot of people are talking about, oh, and then the rest of the year. So this is what it's all about, is that those Mars squares, and Pluto's still in on that, isn't it, even though it's not exact.
Exactly.
And so I've been thinking about that a bit, and you know, I keep mentioning 1988 and not doing my exams. So, and I was thinking, oh, why is it such a similar signature? So I looked back, because I'm thinking, I reckon it was square some planets in Capricorn. And of course, that Mars retrograde in Aries was square quite a lot of planets in Capricorn. So it wasn't just the Mars retro in Aries. It was, you know, squaring up against, yeah, the long game that you're meant to be doing, or the establishment. So Neptune was in Capricorn, and at one point there was a stellium, you know, Uranus was in there. In actual Capricorn season, there was the sun. Like, there was like five or six planets that Mars was beating up against. And I was thinking about it more, like, if you've got a lot of fire signs, you're going to go with the Mars. If you've got a lot of earth signs, you're probably going to lean into the Capricorn vibe. So
that's a great point.
Yeah. So I obviously went with the Mars and went nightclubbing and didn't do my exams for my long game. So knowing that, it's good to like think about, oh, well, actually I do really need to push myself with that Capricorn stuff and your long game. If you're Capricorn, don't be all like too, or a lot of earth, don't be all too the establishment and following the rules. Like, it's really about making a breakthrough with both, but also doing your homework.
That's great advice. That's great advice. Another thing I think we might be called on to develop during this time is tenacity. I don't know if I've told you the story before, Vanessa, but when I was doing a research project on Mars Saturn aspects in the natal chart, I just thought of the word tenacious, and yeah. I thought, oh, that's a great Mars Saturn word. And I Googled the word tenacious, and I just Googled quotes with tenacious or quotes with tenacity. And I kid you not, the first whole two pages, because I looked at the first person's birth chart just out of curiosity. I was like, oh, I wonder if they have a Mars Saturn aspect. And they did. So I looked at the second person and they did. And so I looked at the third person and they did. I was like, holy cow, stop it. And then for the whole two pages of people with tenacity in their quote, they had Mars Saturn aspects.
Wow.
And I was like, this is definitely a thing.
Yeah, I love intuitive guidance like that. That's fantastic.
So I think that, you know, if we think about what is tenacity and how do you get it, you don't develop tenacity because things are going along, you know, smoothly and easily. You develop tenacity because you're trying to get something. I mean, in this case, we're talking about Mars and Aries squaring off with Saturn and Capricorn. And so Mars and Aries, your personal will, you're trying to get something and it's being blocked through maybe the square, some kind of roadblock like we talked about before. Mm-hmm. And so if you have developed tenacity, you're not relinquishing your will. You're not surrendering. You're going to keep fighting for it. And
absolutely.
And you know, Mars and Aries might be that dynamic upstart reacting against the status quo, like you were describing earlier, or Saturn and Capricorn could represent that authority figure that's blocking forward momentum. And to you, during this Mars Saturn square, it might feel like something has to give, but not without a fight. If that feeling's rising up in you, I say, ask yourself, is this actually worth fighting for? Or am I just like really hot and ready to go? Or would it be more wise to stand down in this moment? Or would it be more wise to actually stand my ground? Because this is something I truly want and believe in. And again, the question here is this the fight that you want to fight? Or is it better to back down now and save your strength for another battle that's more important? One of those people I looked up that has the Mars Saturn aspect is television host Padma Lakshmi, and she has natal Mars in Leo. So Mars in a fire sign, square Saturn in Taurus, Saturn in an earth sign. And she's been quoted as saying, I'm not tough, I'm tenacious. And she's a global ambassador for Keep Child Alive and the ACLU. And she balances her ambitious work in the entertainment industry with philanthropy. And you know, another thing I wanted to say is that under this Mars Saturn square, we may need to muster up the determination needed to get our way, to actualize our will, or even stand our ground and fight for what's right, if that's for what's called for, just to learn something from these folks who have these natal Mars Saturn aspects, who have developed tenacity and tenaciousness. Because in the collective, we're going to definitely witness plenty of conflicts as well. You know, this might be happening in our personal lives if these aspects are touching your natal chart, but we're definitely going to witness them on the world stage. And the underlying energetic is a fight between that energy and drive to move ahead, to start something new, symbolized by Mars and Aries, versus the tried and true Saturn and Capricorn, which is also the status quo. And it may be that the status quo is saying to Mars and Aries, you can't do that, or you can't do it like that. But on the flip side, Saturn in Capricorn could be representing the voice of reason or prudence that's asking us, is this really a viable plan? And have you thought about all the ways it could go wrong? Because Mars and Aries probably didn't.
No. Just doing.
just do it. Just do it is Mars and Aries. I don't know who actually made that slogan, but I would love to find out that they had Mars and Aries.
Oh, the Nike just do it.
Yeah, the Nike slogan, no. Just do it. Yeah. I don't know who created the slogan. You know, and usually these things are created by a group of people in a room brainstorming. So, you know, I don't know if we can actually know, but it would be fun to find out.
I did hear an interview with I can't remember if it was the person or the advertising agency that was talking about that, but they, yeah, I'll have to look back into it, but they were really excited about having a positive message, even though it was used for advertising. They knew that it was like changing people's lives, and they had a lot of feedback on people that were like, I just did that. Like, that helped me as a motto, just do this or just do that. So it was definitely there. And I was just thinking about how that square's been coming through on a mundane level. Like, you know, I know in the US that like post boxes are getting taken away. So the tenacity, well, how are you going to like get in there to change the system if you can't even vote? Like, that's where that Mars is going to come up, and people aren't going to take it lying down. Like, that's the good thing about squares, you know?
Yeah, so definitely.
In one's own life, yeah, what is it that you need to push through that is a bit of a mountain?
I like that.
The other mundane thing that I found, because I was looking around thinking, oh, I wonder how that's coming up, was the warp speed vaccine situation. Like,
right.
It's so Marsy, but you need that Capricorn to do the testing and
right.
Develop it. Like, Capricorn's about over time. Mars is about right now in Aries.
Yeah.
So there you have that square, like, well, what are you going to do? Like, it's good the Mars in Aries is getting it happening. I'm not having a debate on whether it's good or bad, just the right. Situation. Yeah, so that was a classic.
Yeah, you can imagine those conversations happening, right? Where it's like there are people in there that are saying, we have to get this done, hurry, hurry, hurry. And then there are other people being the voice of reason saying, you can't just unleash an untested vaccine on the world.
Oh, no, you cannot. So what a classic example.
Totally, yeah. So interesting times ahead. Well, the last thing I wanted to call out to you about this particular Mars-Saturn square is a technical thing. And first thing is that it's going to repeat again. So, you know, it's hot during this 2-week period, but it's going to come back again at the end of September. And then there's an interesting development with it, because Mars is retrograde during the cycle, spends so long in Aries. It comes back again in the beginning of January, but it's going to come back in totally different signs. It's going to come back when Saturn and Uranus have crossed over into Aquarius. And so it's going to have a different dynamic. But I still intuitively feel like these three squares are connected in one storyline. So I say, you know, use this as a little experiment and notice what's arising in this period from August 17th to the 27th. If you track mundane cycles, maybe just kind of take note of the headlines and what's emerging, what's being talked about, what are some of the big challenges that are coming up right now, or maybe challenges that are coming up for you. And then notice what happens in late September and then again in early January, because I think this may be part of an unfolding story that requires some of the Mars-Saturn skills I've described to navigate, and that in January, maybe there's a coming full circle, or maybe the challenge is presented in a new way that also presents an opportunity for resolving it. So do you want to add to that, Vanessa?
Oh, I was just looking at, I do have notes on Saturn was actually in 1988 with that Mars square was also in Capricorn at one point. There was actually six planets in Capricorn at one point. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, definitely. I think, again, maybe even continuing themes from back then, because astrology is so much about cycles and just getting another go at it. But yeah, I agree. It's all, you know, that's what astrology tells us, isn't it? It's all related. It's all developments on the same story.
Well, that's a great insight. We'll have to do some more research on 1988.
Get it right this time.
Before we go to the next segment, I thought this would be a great time for our break. Our public service announcement break. So I'm going to go ahead and we're going to take a short break, and I'm going to share some information about a nonprofit I'd like to call your attention to. And we'll be back in just a moment to finish up with our next segment. What better nonprofit to feature this month with Mars and Aries than an organization called Fair Fight, which you can find right now at fairfight.com. The 2020 election will carry historic consequences. But foreign interference and sophisticated voter suppression threatens our ability to freely elect our next leaders. You can join Fair Fight's effort to fight back by starting early and working together to ensure that every American voter's voice is heard and that leaders with integrity are voted into office. Fair Fight 2020 is building voter protection teams with Democratic state parties or local allies across the country to protect the right to vote. And now is the time to join in. Sign up today at fairfight.com to ensure that 2020 is a fair fight election. And now back to our podcast. All right, we're back, folks, and ready for our next section, which is called Opportunity Knocks.
So what do you do, Tony, when opportunity knocks?
You run away.
No.
You open the door.
You walk through.
Yes, exactly. So in this section, folks, we're highlighting trines and sextiles because we tend to focus on the squares, oppositions, and conjunctions as astrologers. And why do we do that? In my opinion, it's because of negativity bias, which is a whole long talk. But let's skip that for now and just talk about the trines and sextiles this month. So what caught your eye, Vanessa?
Well, I noticed there are actually some great formations, like the end of August, we've got a grand trine that's also in a kite formation with Venus. The moon will kick that off when it comes through Jupiter and Neptune. And then there's a mystic rectangle with Pluto, Jupiter, Neptune, Mercury, Venus. And I think, again, the moon will kick that off. Like, I think it's always interesting when another planet comes through, whether it's the moon or something more fast mooning, up moving and kick something off. So, again, mark it in your diary. You know, they're positives to lean into. And there's, you know, you can amplify that and build on that if that's what you're looking for. Again, there's the bias. Look for the positive, plan things that you want to go smoothly at that time. And, yeah, make the most of it. And it is, it's true. We do seem to, well, I see a lot of people talking about squares and oppositions, and very rarely, you know, hey, there's a grand trine going on.
Right.
And what you focus on, it will amplify it. Like, I was thinking about that Pluto square Mars moment, and I happened to have booked an appointment at the dentist, and I had it in my mind and I made it worse. Like, the dentist jumped with the drill, and because I'd sort of amped up my nervous system. So I was like, wow. Yeah. So it's, as a Sagittarius, remember the positive, you know, that's my message. Remember the positive and amplify it without ignoring the challenges.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. So check out those dates of that grand trine. A couple of things that caught my eye were these Mercury aspects while Mercury's in Virgo. One of them is Mercury trine Uranus. You know, so you'll hear some astrologers that say Mercury in aspect to Uranus is a sign of genius. I don't know about that. I think it's, you know, it's a definitely an interesting potential, but it's interesting to think about in terms of this trine, what you could do with this energy, like Vanessa was talking about, how might you channel it? So this could be a time where you could use that practical Virgo energy and analytical energy and communicative energy and have maybe inventive breakthroughs.
Definitely solutions, isn't it? Very
solutions.
Creative.
Yeah.
It's gifts as well, those trines, I say. And Uranus is like, man, anything could happen. When I got my book deal, Uranus was transiting and trine to my Mercury.
Oh, cool.
They're real gifts. Yeah.
Yeah. So being open to the creative lightning bolts. Yeah, for sure. Yep. And ready to pivot. You know, Mercury is, and Virgo is mutable, and ready to pivot and go with the flow, especially under pretty much any Uranus aspect.
Absolutely. Get ready for anything.
But I'm kind of picturing, like, as we're talking about lightning bolts, like setting up that lightning rod to channel the energy that you want to channel in that moment.
Yeah.
And then another opportunity.
I was going to say, being open to, like, we've had a lot of things thrown up on the table for us to, like, reassess and learn new languaging and from other people's points of views, and to open our minds so much. Like, that's a great moment to look into that stuff with an open mind and expand your mind as well.
Mm-hmm, I like that. And those dates are, that's around August 25th in the United States. That'd be August 26th for you. That's when it's exact. So you got a little bit of lead up time there before and after. Mercury's fast though, so it's just a moment. You really want to write down that exact date and try to catch it then. Mercury in Virgo will be trine Jupiter just a couple of days later on August 29th. And that might be a good time to channel some of that Virgo energy into opportunities for support. So maybe support from a Jupiterian benefactor. It could be a good time to ask for help from somebody like that with a project that you're having, or to come up with practical solutions to problems. It could be a good day to tackle projects. Jupiter could kind of help expand on that Mercury energy and give you that drive and gusto to work through your long, long to-do list. And it's so it's a really important action day where Mercury, wherever Mercury or Jupiter are in your chart. So look to see where Mercury and Jupiter are transiting, and those houses of your chart might be activated by these energies that day. And it's definitely not a day to sleep through, I don't think.
Absolutely not. Make the most of it. Yeah. And communication, like, do you have something you want to get across the board? It's more likely to go. The end of the month is looking very positive. End of August.
Yeah, definitely. And then there's one more day I wanted to call your attention to, especially in the context of the Mars-Saturn stuff and everything going on. And this is September 7th. So write down that date. And on that day, the moon is in Taurus trine Jupiter. And if you are into electional astrology, this could be a good day to scope out for an electional. There aren't a lot of great electional days left this year where we have a lot of the conditions that we like to look for with electional astrology. And on September 7th, the moon is waning. It's not always my favorite for electional dates, but there are so many good aspects that day. And the moon has a good final result if you are into that technique. The reason I'm calling it out to your attention, folks who are listening, is that I feel like this day with the moon in Taurus trine Jupiter could have a calm before the storm feeling or an eye of the hurricane feeling, where you really want to kind of use this the calm energy that you could tap into of that moon in Taurus to slow down, appreciate the good things in life, and really take stock of those life's more sensual pleasures and rest in preparation for the challenges that we're all about to face with the Mars retrograde cycle.
Yes, absolutely. And you also have, we're going to talk about the moon out of bounds, Tony. That's your speciality, and I'm always up for hearing and learning more about that.
Yeah, and that takes us into our section called Creative Challenge Points. And yeah. So the moon is out of bounds. The moon's been going out of bounds about once a month, and it's out of bounds this month in September from September 11th to 13th. And note these dates and be really careful in your personal interactions on those dates, especially with those closest to you. And here's why. Emotions might run high and you may be feeling especially sensitive on those days. And because the moon's in Cancer and because of the aspects with the moon, objectivity may be just out of reach. Remember, Neptune's in Pisces. So this would be a good time to sit with your feelings, to be with your feelings, to experience your feelings, give space for your feelings to process. You don't necessarily have to be alone, but alone time can sometimes help, or some alone space. And then spend some time doing reflection. Turn up the volume on self-care with the moon in Cancer as well. Wherever we have the moon out of bounds or any planet out of bounds, that planet can be amplified or exacerbated, or it can be more extreme in its behavior. So if you just think about, what would the moon in Cancer be like if it was extreme? So strong emotions, that's where I'm going with that. It could be that simple. So also really, really important, to turn up the volume on self-care. There's an opportunity here as well with the moon in Cancer for imagination, and especially with the aspect to Neptune, daydreaming and emotionally driven meditation practice, like those where you're actively embodying a positive emotion in order to create more of that experience in your life. So it could be really great days for those kinds of meditation. So really carve out that space for that creative time.
And like the positive side of a moon out of bounds and in Cancer, I'm wondering if that's, you're more open to see people as family or bring people in, that kind of thing.
I like that. Yeah, it could be. I mean, it could, I was saying do some emotional work by yourself, but there was part of me that was like, I feel like the moon in Cancer, the connection is important.
Connecting.
As well. Yeah. Yes. So maybe it's a good time to process with your family, or just to create that feeling of, to kind of huddle up with the people that make you feel safe.
Yeah. And maybe you're actually going to be more open to doing that and reaching out as well, especially for people that may have been feeling a bit isolated and start to close down emotionally and batten the hatches a little bit. It might help like push everyone back out again.
Definitely. Well, but we should say in the section a few words about Mars retrograde too.
Yes,
it's going to be a big deal. We're not talking about it at length today, in part because I'm going to give a webinar on it for Astrology University here in a couple of weeks. But for now, I just want to share a little bit of the big picture highlights. And for me, one of those things is that, you know, when Mars goes retrograde, Mars is about, it's about action and it's about forward movement. And it has to do with our ego drives. So if you're midstream on a project that's been moving forward right now, maybe because, you know, after all those retrogrades we've just been through earlier in the year, now Mars is in Aries, and after Mercury went direct, there was a bit of whoosh of energy. And if you've been kind of caught up in that whoosh and you're midstream on a project that you've been moving forward on, and then all of a sudden Mars retrograde hits and there's feels like there's a monkey wrench thrown in, or maybe it feels like, you know, it's Saturn. Remember we talked about that Mars-Saturn square, and Saturn's in Capricorn. So maybe it feels like a roadblock, or it feels like some challenge from the status quo, like we were describing earlier. It might be, just hold some space for the idea that it might be like that, because there's something about your project that you need to adjust before moving forward. So see this as an opportunity to go back to the drawing board and cultivate patience. It might be a blessing in disguise that you have your forward momentum curtailed a little bit or stalled a little bit, because we're moving towards, all of us, a sea change of energy at the end of the year as Jupiter and Saturn change signs into Aquarius. So it might be that the time that you spend during Mars retrograde reworking your plans and addressing the challenges that are coming up will better prepare you for success as the planets Jupiter and Saturn shift into Aquarius in late December.
Absolutely. Yep. Do some testing.
Yeah. Yes,
definitely. Test your ideas.
Yeah, definitely. I love it. So, and our next section is called What's on Your Coffee Table. So what's on your coffee table, Vanessa? What are you reading right now?
Well, yes, randomly I'm reading. It's a little bit, I think this is actually quite Virgo, but it's kind of Scorpio too. But, you know, Mercury. It's called Detecting Deception Through Statement Analysis. I Know You're Lying by Mark McClish. Statement analysis.
You're always reading such interesting stuff. I absolutely love it. Yeah.
Ridiculous. But to me, it's actually quite Virgo-y. And a sun, moon in Virgo person is the one that was talking about this at one stage, because her friend was studying it, and I just thought, oh, that's fascinating. I want to learn more. So I bought a book on it, and it is fascinating because it's about the detail of words, very Virgo, it's very precise. You're not judging, you're just listening, you know, to the order of things. It's so Virgo. I guess the Scorpio bit is like detecting the deception, but
right.
It's really interesting to use in these times because there's so much crazy going on in media. There's so much fake news. Who knows what's going on? So immediately after I finished reading it, I was seeing the things straight away. Like, you know, a big part of deception is, which I didn't know, was it's very hard for people to actually lie. It's really hard. So if anything, they just don't mention it. So it's what's not being said. It's also people will tell the truth in the statement, actually, because it's hard to lie. Like, it's just this, you know, we kind of truth serum-y, actually. So it's spotting when they've said it in the, but even though it sounds like they're saying something else, I've actually told you. So The point was saying, just take it for granted that the person is speaking the truth. You've just got to hear it. Wow. So I really enjoyed that. So yeah, just sort of listening to the news and official statements by people in power, you can just straight away pick out what's either true, what's not true, or at least what's not being said, that they're withholding information.
Right.
And I've done a lot of body language study. So with the statement analysis, and then, you know, the hand comes to the mouth or, you know, touches their ear, it's that trying not to say something. It means they've got more to tell you, but they're not going to.
Interesting.
Yeah, fascinating. And what about you, Tony? What is on your coffee table?
I have a couple of books. One is Aspects in Astrology by Sue Tompkins. It's a classic, and it's on my table because that's that's what I'm teaching this week. And we have a major aspects course running as part of our four-year program, which just started up again. We started up a new cohort of students in year one, and then we have our year one students going into year two. And that's what the year two students are reading. And then the other book that just made it onto my coffee table, or my desk rather, was a gift from a friend, and who knows that I love biographies and autobiographies. And this is called More Myself, A Journey by Alicia Keys. So it's Autobiography by Alicia Keys. I can't wait to dive into it.
And the aspects one, like that's the thing that people struggle with most in astrology, isn't it? Really, the aspects is the final frontier.
Yeah, it is something that students struggle with a lot, for sure. So yeah, I'm having so much fun already in this course, and it's something you can study over and over and always get something new from, I think, too.
Yeah. And evolves as well. So what's your monthly mantra and key takeaway as a Virgo? Give us the intel, the inside lane.
Well, my key takeaway has to do with that Mars retrograde, I guess, which if you have a major new project in the works, consider launching it sooner than later if it's ready to go. So if you're listening to this before, you know, I believe it's like September 9th, right? That Mars goes retrograde. So if you're listening to this before then, like, you know, I would say in the next couple of days, maybe it's ready to launch and you know it's ready to launch and your intuition is telling you now's the time, go time. You know, I always say trust your intuition over astrology. I know that might be a bit, I might get things thrown at me for saying that, but I think trusting your intuition is right. But this might be a challenging time to start. We're already so close to Mars retrograde that it might be a challenging time to start it. So it might be better to wait. Again, trust your intuition. But if you can put the brakes on until next year, like the beginning of next year, feasibly, and it wouldn't cause you too many problems, it might be better to wait and see what happens, because we're going to go through a lot of changes this fall. And like I said, that sea change of energy, and you might be in a completely different place by the time January rolls around. So I say, turn up the volume on your patience mindset right now and dust off your anger management tools, both for the Mars square Saturn, but also just Mars retrograde in Aries. And then don't forget to use August 20th to September 5th, while Mercury's in Virgo, to analyze, to critique, to write, to communicate your dissatisfaction in healthy ways, to fix the broken things, to help a friend, to take care of something practical for someone in need without asking for anything in return. That's my takeaway. And then my monthly mantra is going to be, I accept myself exactly as I am, even as I also take practical steps to change in positive ways. Also just, I am worthy. I am worthy. I am worthy. I am worthy. Yes.
And then, I don't have to do all the things.
Yep. And then one more, I accept the world exactly as it is and unconditionally share my gift of knowing what would improve it.
Beautiful. Yep. That's a really good monthly mantra for Virgo. I accept myself and the world, in fact.
Yes. Yeah. How about you? How about you, Vanessa?
Key takeaway, something I've been thinking about is, that Mars in Aries with the energy, like that's a lot of energy in that square. It's a lot of energy building up and tension. So with Virgo season coming on, when this gets released, Virgo is all about those ritual and daily habits that build, you know, good health. So it's routine. So get some sort of energy outlet release, you know, that you can do sustainably daily, you know, to amp up your good feelings and get out any frustration or built up anger or whatever it is with all that energy around in the squaring. Very important. So that's definitely my key takeaway. Good and one. Monthly mantra, I've got a couple as well. I am easily centered in the present moment, using it to make my dreams a reality.
Good one.
Grounding the dreams in a practical way. And I easily understand the best approach in every situation and apply it in ways others hear and receive.
Good. Well crafted. Yes, that's a good one. Well, that takes us to the end of the Cosmic Eye Forecast. Thanks for tuning in today, folks. We want to call your attention to a couple of things. Vanessa is in a really exciting moment because she's just, her new book is available for pre-order. And Vanessa, you want to tell us something about your new book, which is called Cosmic Power?
Yes, it's now part of the Power series. As a Sagittarius, where you always get more, I actually pitched a whole series because I got excited. And so this is number two in the series, Cosmic Power, Ignite Your Light, A Simple Guide to Sun Signs for the Modern Mystic. Available on pre-order if you just Google Cosmic Power and my name you'll find it. It's beautiful. It's got to be, if I do say so myself, one of the most beautiful sun sign or astrology books in existence. Very important to me. There's lots of lovely illustrations and very colorful. It's all about amping your solar power, which, you know, is confidence. And I started studying hypnotherapy before the first book came in, and I deferred. But they said the groundwork, as I mentioned in Leo season, was and regardless of what you're going in for hypnotherapy for, the groundwork is really building up that confidence. Because if you've got the confidence to do or try something, you believe in yourself, you're more likely to win or at least give it a go. So that's the sun in our chart. Are you willing to even shine? So it's got a lot of sort of background on that and why it's important and how to use it. It goes through the houses and goes through each sign in depth as well. And it's got a second layer to it for people that aren't complete beginners. It actually goes through, you can read each planet in each sign like a cookbook, but beginners won't realize that.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well done and congratulations. I'm excited for you.
I'm very excited too.
Yeah. And then at Astrology University, a few things coming up. There's still time to join our Major Aspects course, which just started August 12th. And you can check, if you register now, you can still hear the recordings from the first week or two and then catch up with the live class. Features lessons taught by me, Kelly Surtees, Jason Holly, and Mark Jones. And then coming up on August 22nd, we have a webinar, one of our Saturday webinars with Cheryl Hopkins, who's going to be giving us a webinar on spiritual awakenings. Really excited for that one.
Oh, wow.
She's looking at outer planet transits in the charts of people who've had spiritual awakenings or described that experience.
Oh, that sounds really interesting. I might be
there for
that one.
Right? Yeah. I'll definitely be there. And then I'm going to be giving my webinar on Mars retrograde on September 5th. So check out the Astrology University calendar for all those events. And I hope to see some of you there. And thanks so much, as always, for joining me today, Vanessa. And we look forward to seeing you next time. And until then,
stay cosmic.
Yes. All right. We got the timing down on that. All right, beautiful. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.